So children are dismissed for kids under construction upstairs if they they want to. And so I think there are already a few of them up there. So this morning, I'm not up there. Actually, this morning, Jim Thorpe is going to be joining us. And if you're not familiar with Jim, you're going to get familiar with Jim. You need to get familiar with Jim. Jim's one of the missionaries that the Thorpe family, I should say, is one of the missionaries that we support. And we want to let you know any time that we have a missionary that that we're supporting, that we're partnering with, when they're in the area, I want them in front of you so that you can hear from them. And so Jim actually contacted me, it was a couple months back now, and he shared with me what he wanted to do, and I'm like, this is perfect timing, because he's going to share with you from Philippians, and we're actually going to be starting Philippians next week. So with everything, which is part of the reason why we kind of pushed through Ephesians the way that we did, so that this all lines up good and well, and I'm excited. So I'm not going to say much more than that. I'm going to have Jim come up, and he's going to share with us.
Okay, can you hear me? Good. It is good to be here. This church is a very special church for us. And I don't know if even you all realize this, but this is the very first church that decided to support us. When we were going to the field in Brazil a lot of years ago, and this was the very first church that took on our support. So it's been great to be connected with you for since 84, so 34 years or so. So thank you. We just want to thank you so much for being one of our partners in ministry. How do you explain our life? And one of the ways that I've explained it is it's by using this word home. And I don't know what home means to you. It means maybe different things to different people. But for us, home has always been this kind of moving target. So we were here in the Salem area. We wanted to go to Brazil, so we left our home here. We went to Brazil. And we're in Brazil and kind of looking at Brazil, but always thinking about the going home back to Oregon. That was what we thought it was home with. You know, we've been in Brazil for a number of years, and then we started taking some trips over to Africa, to Mozambique, where they also speak Portuguese like Brazil. And so we'd be in Mozambique and just thinking about going home to Brazil. And that had changed. And then we moved to Mozambique, and we were in Mozambique for about 3.5 years. Pretty much thought that's where we were going to end up. And so we were in Mozambique, and then we would travel and go to places like Angola and then talk about going home to Mozambique. Then after a few years, World Venture, our mission, asked us if we would take this new role as the director for the Americas, overseeing our ministries in North, Central, and South America. And we thought, that's not what we wanted to do. We really didn't want to leave Africa. But sensed that that was what God was opening up for us, and so we left Africa. We actually moved back to Brazil. And so now our new home was back in Brazil, but a different part of Brazil than we ever knew. And so from Brazil, we traveled all over the place and talked about going back home to Brazil. And then last January, we decided to move our base from Brazil back to Oregon. So now we're in Kaiser. So our home is Kaiser. So, yeah. Home is kind of like, really, home is in an airplane going from one place to another. That's, but we do want to just thank you so much for being a part of our ministry. What do we do? And we just want to take a few minutes to share what we do, and then I want to share from the book of Philippians. As the director for the Americas, our role is to oversee our workers in North, Central, and South America. So we have about 12 different countries that we oversee, working with our missionaries. We travel to these countries and visit them every year. So we're usually in 11 or 12 countries every year. To visit them where they are, we get to stay with them in their homes. We eat dinner around their tables. We play with their children, just interacting with them and finding out how they're doing. When we're not in their homes, we're not traveling to the fields, we're working out of the office and trying to keep connection with them and find out how they're doing. And then things happen, and we try to get a hold of them and find out, okay, what's going on? What do you need? And so a lot of it is counseling, member care. Because we know them, we've been in their homes, we kind of understand a little bit about what they may be experiencing. So it's the time when we're not traveling is time we're spent in talking to them on the phone or emails or Skype or Zoom or different ways that we keep connected with them. But Corrine's going to share, last year was another way that we engage with our missionaries. And so I've asked her just to, as I change into this robe, she's going to share a little bit about that. What do you got?
When we went to the field, somebody gave me a cross stitch that had a little heart, and it said, home is where you hang your heart. I decided now that home is where you hang your hat, because home can be lots of different places, as he said. Last Thanksgiving, we had a Latin link, and you've heard that term before. This is our third Latin link, and this time it was in a beautiful mountain setting in Guatapé, Colombia. For a lot of our workers who work in very hot, humid places, this was a beautiful, scenic, cool mountain city where we all flew into Medellin and then took a two-hour winding your way up the mountain. And for some of them, they went with kind of crazy drivers and were wondering if they would actually get there. But it was a gorgeous place. A beautiful hotel had this gorgeous rock that you could actually walk over to and then climb 740 steps. We did it at 8,000 feet, and that was quite a feat, just the altitude, let alone all the steps. But it was a great time for our workers to come together, to connect with each other, to talk about their ministries, to share ideas, and it was fun to watch them at mealtime, scrambling to get with certain people so that they could really share their lives. And, you know, some of them are on one unit field, so they don't have other World Venture people. And so this was a real time of fellowship for them. Even the MKs, to watch them playing games together. And as they arrive, they're all hugging each other and so excited to see each other. Some of them hadn't seen each other in several years. So it was just a great time to give that as a gift to our missionaries. They had a speaker who was also a former MK and missionary and gets exactly where they are in life, really spoke to their hearts, and then had different workshops. We had people from the office that helped with medical and finance and different questions that they had. So it was just a wonderful time at Thanksgiving. Then for the first time in 10 years, we were actually in our own home for Christmas. So that was really fun for us. Usually I decorated for 10 days in Brazil and then put it all away so that I wouldn't come home in February or March to Christmas, because I didn't think I could handle that. But it was really fun to be near our kids and grandkids and just to be able to have the holidays with them. So thank you once again for your love and support of us.
Okay. So, a number of years ago, I heard somebody you probably have heard of, Jason Nightingale, a man who spent a lot of time sharing the Word of God, just spoken. And it really struck me, the power of just hearing the Word of God. And I had been working for a long time just trying to memorize Philippians. And then I began looking at it in a kind of a new way and thought, I wonder what it would be like to really understand the book even more as it was written. And so in my crazy imagination, I've kind of recreated in my mind what it might look like for Paul to have written the letter. So I want to share that with you. The Word of God, the letter that he wrote to Philippians was a missionary thank you letter. He was writing the church in part to thank them for the gifts that they had sent to him in his ministry. He loved the church, and so he wrote to to thank them for Epaphroditus, who had come and brought gifts to him, but also to encourage the church. And part of it is we know the joy that comes out in the letter, but as I looked at the letter, it's more than joy. It's about the church being united. And you'll hear that theme come out as Paul's writing this church, asking them to think the same thoughts, to think the same way, to have the same love. These are things that were important to Paul and important for the church to put into practice. The setting, and I don't know where the pastor will go with this, because there's some discussion about this. Paul was in Rome, in prison, perhaps not the ending of his life. It wasn't. I think he may have been in prison two times. One time that was probably not as terminal as the second time, and he may have been released from there. And I think he possibly went from there and even made it to Spain at some point in his ministry. Then ended up back in Rome later in his life in a prison where actually they beheaded him according to the tradition. But I sense that this was an earlier time when Paul was in prison, maybe not as restrictive as the last time, so he might have had a little bit more liberty to interact with people who are coming and going. And so I want to just take you back to his prison cell, the interaction that might have gone on. I realize there are some changes. I don't think Paul had glasses. I don't think he wore a watch. So you kind of have to just get by that. So put the robe on to just kind of help a little bit with the atmosphere. Part of what I want to do is go through the book. I just ask you, don't follow along. You will find mistakes. I will miss something or skip over something probably. But I would rather you just listen to the Word of God. You know, the Bible, especially the New Testament, was actually written to be spoken. The letters were written, yes, as letters, but the letters were taken to churches and they were read in the churches, and usually went to many different churches, because after it went to one church, then they would pass it on to another church. People didn't have copies of it, so it would have been read. People would have had to listen to the Word of God. So just listen and see if you can kind of sense what Paul is trying to communicate, and then as you begin to study it, it might make a little more sense. Good morning, Timothy. How are you? Yeah, did you sleep well? Good, yeah. Me? I slept okay, but I was up early. I just am so concerned about these churches that we've worked with, and just asking God to bless them. Yeah. So, any word from Luke? No? Yeah, I miss that guy. I wish we could at least hear it, where he is and what he's doing. What about our case before the judge? Any news on that? No? Yeah. I've heard the church here in Rome has been working towards it. Yeah, and helping my case out. I really hope so. You know, Timothy, I think I'm gonna get out of here. I don't know, but I hope so. I really would. I got so many things I'd still want to do. Yeah, I'd love to go to Spain. That's always been a dream of mine, to preach the gospel where people have not preached before. Well, we'll see what God has for that. Oh, Epaphroditus, how are you? You're looking better, yeah? Oh, man, I'm glad to see you're still with us. You were so sick, I thought we were going to lose you for sure. But, hey, I'm glad that God saved you, and appreciate that. And Claudius, my favorite Roman guard, how are you today? Yeah, you're looking fit, strong. Are you ready for another job of watching this dangerous criminal? Yeah, I'm sure you could probably think of other things you'd rather do. So how are things going between Caesar and the Senate? Yeah, still fighting, I bet. Hey, you know, Claudius, here's my idea. Why don't they let Caesar and the senators fight it out in the Colosseum? That would be something different. I'd want to see that. Yeah. Well, good. It would save a few of your gladiator friends, not to mention a few of my Christian friends. Yeah. No, I don't think it'll ever happen. Well, just remember, Claudius, God has put you here for a reason. You're listening to me, and I sense God is moving in your life, Claudius. I think God's got his hand on you. You wait and see. Oh, Timothy, I've been thinking about the church at Philippi, and I want to write them a letter. I think it'd be really good. I really need to encourage that church. So would you help me again, Timothy? Write down the letter. You know, it's hard for me to see. It's hard for me to write. You do such a good job of this. So, let's write a letter to this church. Help me with that. I just remember that. Coming to the Philippi for that first time and finding a small group of people by the river and seeing how God was beginning to get at these people and then to end up in jail. Wow, that was difficult, but yet at the same time, Silas and I, we just sensed that God was moving and doing something and praying and singing. Yeah, it was getting late, and God sent that earthquake. What an incredible moment. Oh, that poor guard woke him up. Yeah, he was sleeping, but then he got scared because he thought, an earthquake, they're all gone. But we were able to encourage him and just say, it's okay, we're still here. And then to see how God used that to transform his life and his life, his family's life, and started the church. That was great. Well, let's write this letter. So Timothy, help me out with this and write it down. Paul and Timothy, to the church in Philippi, we as servants of Lord Jesus Christ, write to all the saints at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. I'm being confident to this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, it is right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or if this is defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace together with me. Yeah, and God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is most excellent and may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. The righteousness that comes from God, to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. So it's become clear that... What's that, Timothy? I'm going too fast? I'm sorry. Yeah, I get so excited about these things. I just start going and I forget you have to write it down. Let me slow down, okay? Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So it has become clear to the whole palace guard, Claudius, and to everyone else, that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Well, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Now, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. See, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I go on living in the body, well, that will mean fruitful labor for you. Yet, what should I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two, for I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which would be far better. But to remain in the body would be more needful for you. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus may overflow on account of me. But whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you again or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, since you are going through the same struggles that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. If there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded, being one in spirit and purpose, having the same love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Timothy, remember that? Yeah, that hymn that the churches sing. It's a real example of the humility of Christ as an attitude for us to copy. Yeah, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being by very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen. Wow. That is so powerful, Timothy, isn't it? Humbling to be exalted. What an example to us, yeah. Yeah, let's go on. Therefore, brothers, based on this truth, yeah. I knew that would happen. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to do. Timothy, no, change that. Not will and to do. Let's say it is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Yeah. I know, Timothy. It's a little hard to change it. I know, but you can do it. Just change. Timothy, just change the word. No, I know it's difficult. I realize you don't have anything. You can just scratch the word out and rewrite it. No, and papyrus is expensive. Yeah. I know. Timothy, that would be. Oh, right. Yeah, you think it would be really great for somebody to create an invention that you could just tell it what you want it to write and it'll write? A little box maybe that, yeah, you just say the words and it comes out? Right, yeah. I suppose you want it to correct your spelling and grammar too, huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Come on, Timothy. Yeah. No, you may be right, but I think if anybody ever invented that, people would just use it to play games with. So I don't know if that would help us. Just write. Hey, how about this, Timothy? What about another box that you can just take a papyrus and you put it down, push a button, and out comes an exact copy of it? How'd you like that? Yeah, dreamer. Just write. Change the word. It's God who is at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, so that I may boast in the day of Christ that I have not run or labored for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Yeah, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon. No, Timothy, I know you don't want to go, but you represent me so well, and you don't have to go now, but at some point, I think you're going to need to go to the church in Philippi. I'll just write this. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. For I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Everyone looks out for their own interests and not those of Christ Jesus, but you know how Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come to you soon. Yeah. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Yeah, I know you don't want to go either, Epaphroditus, but after you were sick, they need to see you. And I really need you to go, and I need you to take this letter for me. You know me, you know what's going on, and so you can take this letter and you can help them understand what it means. You can explain it to them a little bit better, yeah. Besides that, Epaphroditus, if you take the letter, it's going to save me a postage stamp. Yeah, I know. I'm always thinking that way. Yeah. I think it necessary to send back Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Oh, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you had heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the sake of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me. Finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, especially since Timothy's doing all the writing. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, but it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason to put confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. And as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But what things were to my gain, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them, what word could we use there, Timothy? A strong word. In all those old things, I consider them, no, I don't think we can use that word. Yeah. That explains it, yeah, but we need to come up with it. I consider them rubbish. How's rubbish work? Yeah. No, I did like the other word, but I don't think it'd fly in a church. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. It's not that I've already attained all this or have already become perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it all yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, well, that too God will reveal to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others, brothers, in following my example. And take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. Oh. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their belly. And their glory is in their shame. Their minds are on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform these lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Therefore, brothers, my joy and crown, you whom I love and long for, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Epaphroditus, what were the name of those two ladies that were fighting? Oh, yes, Iodius and Syntyche. Great names, huh? Sounds like a couple cats. Man, I'm just so sorry to hear that they're fighting. They're good women. They worked hard. But they've lost sight of something. I wonder if maybe if I called them out in this letter, maybe that would help them wake up. Yeah, Timothy, write this. I plead with Iodia and I plead with Syntyche that they agree with each other in the Lord. Oh, and I ask you also, my dear friend Susegus, help these women who have contended at my side for the sake of the gospel, along with Clement and other fellow laborers whose names are all in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord. Let me say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, what's that, Timothy? Yes, I know I've already said finally, right. No, Timothy, I'm not like those long-winded preachers that go on and say in conclusion. No, I'm ending it. No, Timothy, I'm really not long-winded, am I? No, well, yeah, you always bring that one up. The guy fell asleep while I was preaching past midnight. What's his name? Yeah, Eutychus. But that wasn't really my fault. And besides that, God healed him and brought him back to life, so yeah. Okay, I speak a little long sometimes, but okay, be careful, Timothy. I'll send you to the church at Corinth and see how they challenge your authority. Yeah, just write, Timothy. Finally, yeah, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about those things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice greatly that now at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you had been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Yet, it was good of you to share with me in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, from the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, after I set out from Macedonia, no church shared with me in this matter of giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again. I'm not saying this because I desire a gift, but I desire what might be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the things that you sent. Thank you for bringing those along with you. I really appreciate these clothes, Epaphroditus. It was a real gift from the church, yeah. They are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to our God. And my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To the God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, send this final greeting. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me, send your greetings. Now, all the saints, send your greetings, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. I've often debated preaching in a robe, and I think I'm going to go for it now. So it'll make ironing easier. So thank you very much. And as I shared before, we're going to be going into Philippians starting next week. And so between what you have just heard, and I love the fact that that's what Jim opened up with, that it's meant to be heard. As you know, it's our tradition to, as we start a letter, to read it through. And that's, I love how this is all played out this way, that God is good. So spend some time in Philippians this week as we go into it next week. And we're going to come to our time of communion, and we want to invite you to the table and to remember that what this table is about, that this is Christ's gift for us, that he invites us into, that the exchange of his body and this covenant, which is when you look at especially the letter of Philippians, which is so different than so many of the other letters, there's not a single complaint in it. And it's just abounding in what God is doing with this group of people, this body that he has collected together. And so as we come together in communion, it's exactly what we're doing. We're participating as a body, coming into this union that is Christ, and remembering what he has done for us, that the only reason we're able to go and do what it is that we're supposed to do is because of what he has given us. So come to the table as you feel led during the song, and we'll close. All right. Well, we wanted to again to encourage you to be start thinking about small group, be in the Word in Philippians this week, and spend some time with Jim and Corrine as they get a chance to talk with them out there, and don't rush them, but go talk to them and all that. And we hope you have a great week. And if we don't see you between now and next Sunday, we'll see you next Sunday.